the issue of mental illness has finally been brought up as a significant component of homelessness. And so the Chico City Council, the mayor of Chico, is now asking to see what Butte Behavioral Health is spending its mental health dollars on. So Scott Kennelly, talk about what is the amount and the source of funding for mental health services in your department?
So the current budget for Butte County Behavioral Health for fiscal year 2021 is about $73 million. And the funding that comes to us is a mixture of funding, state and federal funding, something called realignment. There's 91 realignment, 2011 realignment, as well as Mental Health Services Act funding, and at a federal level, Medi-Cal revenue that we obtain through billing for services that we provide to our customers, as well as some limited grant revenue that comes down for some of our programming. So there's no one particular funding stream. There's an awful lot of different funding streams, each with specific requirements for how you spend the money and how you cannot spend the money. For example, Mental Health Services Act funds come to us, have five different categories in which you can use the funding with specific requirements. Some of that funding is for early intervention and outreach services, prevention services, and other services are for capital IT projects, facilities acquisition, or for services to the seriously mentally ill population. We have different requirements, particularly around Medi-Cal and billing for services, in which the state and federal government says you can bill for this type of services, but not for something else. And one example would be, let's say I wanted to do substance use disorder services, provide services in the field. That is a restriction currently by the state. The only time I can bill to provide substance use services to a person has to be when they come into a certified clinic to receive specific services by specific staff. So that makes it very difficult to provide that service, for example, to the homeless out in the community because it's not reimbursable. So there's different nuances around the funding streams and what you can and can't do, and Behavioral Health has to tailor how their services are provided and to whom and at what time.
Director Scott Kennelly, talk about what types of programs are being offered through the Department of Behavioral Health here in Butte County.
Sure. So Behavioral Health serves about 9,000 clients a year between youth and adult and older adult clients. We have a continuum of care that we provide from the front end, which is our prevention services, where we do a lot of services to try and help people avoid actually becoming seriously mentally ill. So we do a lot of outreach and engagement campaigns, a lot of work in the schools with kids, a lot of early screening and work to try and help identify both mental health and substance use issues before they become too problematic. And then we have an array of treatment services where we provide outpatient mental health counseling, group services, family therapy services, for general outpatient population, and then we have specialized services for particular populations like the criminal justice population, people coming out of jail who are reentering into the community and need support, people who have substance use issues who need either support for just that or both substance use and mental health services. We provide an intensive case management team that provides services to people in the community who are, we would call, the most severe, the most impacted. They have unstable housing situations. They're not necessarily stable in their own mental health situation, and they need a lot of support, wraparound services, case management, help getting to appointments, follow through with things. And then on the tail end, we also offer what we call wellness and recovery services, drop-in services and wellness centers for people who have gone through the behavioral health system and are relatively stable and are not necessarily needing our intensive level of care but could benefit from peer support. And they have peer support groups and a drop-in center to have structured activities during their day. We also have inpatient services. That's a psychiatric hospital that we operate in Butte County. We contract for crisis residential services, which is more of a shorter-term stay that's not a locked psychiatric facility, but it's a place where someone could stay for 30 to 45 days while they're stabilizing, either coming out of an inpatient hospital or they're symptomatic and they're at risk of being hospitalized. So those are some of the services, and they're both they're offered in the four locations in Butte, Chico, Paradise, Oroville, and Gridley. And we also do a lot of support with our clients on obtaining housing, particularly the ones who are having challenges staying stable or obtaining stable housing. And then we have a sprinkling of services in different places like the tourist shelter. We provide services in all the schools, counseling for youth. We also do something called FEP, First Episode Psychosis services. So we have a team that also reaches out to people who are experiencing their first psychotic break and providing services to try and help them stabilize before things get too serious.
There is a strong connection between people with mental illness and homelessness. You talked for a minute about all the connections that behavioral health is making with services for addressing homelessness and for stabilizing housing. Talk about what are some of the greatest barriers for unhoused people as they seek mental health services.
So the population that we serve are considered the seriously mentally ill population. There is another subset of people who are served by the health plans, California Health and Wellness and Anthem, and that's what they consider the mild to moderate population, people who have mild mental health issues or moderate impairment. Behavioral health task by the state and the federal government is you serve the most severe clientele, the people who are the most symptomatic, the most impaired. And by that, you see a large population of those people who are not able to maintain stable housing. They've lost their housing due to usually their mental health condition, some of the behaviors that they exhibit, or comorbid mental health and drug and alcohol issues. So when you have someone who's using street drugs and not stable on their medication and cycling in and out of, say, a psychotic episode where they're yelling at people and there's no one there, that makes it really difficult to house that person. So we partner with as many landlords as possible, as well as board and carers and people that are willing to house our clientele, and then we provide intensive services to those clients to try and help them maintain stability, stay on their medication, address the underlying mental health issues or substance use issues, and be successful in their housing. And so we do partner with a number of people, our landlords throughout Butte County and even outside the county, to find housing. There's no one particular type of housing that we utilize. Like I said, there's board and carers, there's unlicensed board and carers, there's residential treatment facilities for drug and alcohol, sober living environments. Some of our clients are in apartments, some of them are in single apartments, others are in shared living apartments. And then we do have a large portion of clients who are unhoused, who are either living in a shelter or unable to obtain housing, either due to their mental health condition, substance use issue, or funding issues. But when you're looking at the homeless population, it's very easy to say the homeless population is primarily mentally ill, and it's your responsibility, behavioral health. And we see it a little bit differently. There's definitely a population of homeless individuals who have significant mental health and substance use issues, but there's also a large population that have other issues that are contributing or have caused their homelessness. If you look at it, to just break it down, you have people who recently lost their homes, were evicted, COVID-19, they lost their jobs, the campfire. There's a population who are experiencing homelessness due to circumstances that are out of their control. There's also a population of the homeless that are former foster youth or runaways, or people who have experienced domestic violence and are running from an environment that's unsafe. You also have a population of the criminal justice subset, where people who have exited the criminal justice system and they don't have a place to stay, or they violated their terms of their probation or parole and they're running from the law. There's a criminogenic piece there. And then there is a population that is truly mentally ill and or just addicted to drugs and alcohol. And the correlation there is the longer people remain homeless, the higher the probability that they will develop a mental health or an addiction issue. And like I said, there's a mild to moderate population that are mildly or moderately impaired, but then there is a severe population that has been significantly traumatized or is very depressed or very addicted to substances. And we do a lot of work engaging those populations to try and encourage them to come into treatment, to try and house them. And behavioral health has some really great staff who work really hard going wherever there's people in need to try and provide services. And one of the other programs I didn't talk about was our mobile crisis team that's paired with law enforcement in both South and North County that respond to any crises in the community where there's a suspected mental health or drug and alcohol issue. during all those times, they're engaging, trying to develop relationships and to bringing people in for support and services. But there is a subset of the homeless population and of the mental health population in general that has something called anosognosia. It's a big word, but it basically means they do not have insight into the fact that they're mentally ill. They don't think that there's anything wrong with them. They have no problem running around on the street, screaming, yelling at imaginary voices. They don't believe that people are accurately portraying them, and they're not willing to get treatment. That's a very tough subset of the homeless population to get into treatment. And one of the only tools that Behavioral Health has is something called the Lannerman-Petras Short Act, or LPS law, that allows you to put someone for a period of time into a psychiatric hospital to stabilize them if they meet certain criteria. And the law behind that was created in the 60s to try and help address the fact that there was too much institutionalization, too many people were put in inpatient facilities, and it was kind of an abusive situation at that point in the 60s, so the pendulum swung all the way the other direction, said you can only hospitalize someone for very specific criteria for a specific period of time. And that law has not changed since the late 60s, and some of the definitions around it, particularly with the homeless and grave disability or the person's inability to feed, clothe, or take care of themselves, have not been updated to reflect the current situation we have with the homeless population that are addicted to substances and living day-to-day the way they are doing. And so when people say behavioral health needs to solve the homeless problem, you just need to scoop up all these people and put them in hospitals, there's no legislative power to do that, to compel people to get that kind of treatment, except for under very rigid, specific circumstances, and that makes it very difficult because there's a population that really could benefit from the services if they were compelled to get treatment, but will not take up or accept the services and would prefer to be on the street.
Director Scott Kennelly, you've mentioned a whole list of contributing factors to people ending up homeless, but with this rise in our homeless crisis in Butte County, the conversation has turned towards addressing it through mental health services. Director Kennelly, what are the biggest obstacles for the Department of Behavioral Health to provide the services that are needed across the county?
So there's a couple of issues. One is the inability to compel a subset of the population to get treatment for drug and alcohol issues or mental health issues. There's legislative protections around people being compelled to come in for help. Without the ability to compel people who are otherwise unwilling to get help and to come in for mental health treatment, services are voluntary primarily for behavioral health. So it's not for lack of resources that we have or staffing that we have. You just cannot force someone who's homeless and mentally ill or homeless and abusing drugs and alcohol to come in. They have to volunteer. They have to be willing to do it unless under specific circumstances, like I mentioned in the LPS law. The other piece is, even if you did have the legislation in place to compel people into treatment, there is a very significant lack of inpatient psychiatric beds statewide. At any given time, there is a 50% shortage in beds, and people on 5150s are sitting in the emergency rooms while behavioral health departments are trying to advocate for them to get into a psychiatric hospital, but there's so much competition from surrounding counties for those critical beds. There's a shortage at every given time, and even now with COVID, this is a significant amplification of that because a lot of inpatient units like my own right now are shut down due to COVID outbreaks until that outbreak can be stabilized. So you need funding to build more inpatient psychiatric units for the people most in need. There's no detox services within Butte County. We need to have a detox service provider established, and you also have to have legislation changes to allow more people to be compelled under certain circumstances to go into treatment who are otherwise unwilling to come in and who are unable to take care of themselves on the street and are representing a danger to other people or themselves.
Director Scott Kennelly, it sounds like you would probably be in support of a regional mental health facility so that it could avoid that competition of funding in our area.
Yes, and in fact, in the last year, I've been in discussions with Feather River Hospital and several other entities locally. I have a meeting this afternoon with another entity locally to talk about the development of a regional inpatient facility that would serve not just Butte County residents, but surrounding county residents as the need arises. The challenge is the budget I talked about that we have does not include any funding to develop, design, make changes to an existing structure to build that facility. I'm only funded to provide the treatment. So it has to be an outside entity or an outside partner that says, I'm willing to make an investment and put this facility in place, and then I'll contract with the county. And as the county, we would then pay them for each person who was put in their inpatient facility on a day-to-day basis.
Scott Canelli, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.